You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are all here with me today. We've got a wonderful show in store for you, a little bit different show, talking about the future of work, something that's a very important topic, and some with a great guest we'll bring on momentarily. But of course, we first start with our quotes of the day from Mike Dooley in the Universe and from Abraham. Let's see what the Universe and Abraham have in store for us today. First, from the Universe. Cool, huh? Being among the very first to get what's going on? To sense the promise, dare the dream, feel the power, tempt the fear, know the truth, rise above, and be a light to billions who will follow? Except, of course, it's sometimes lonely. All hail the Universe. We love our quotes from Mike Dooley in the Universe. Having a little fun with us today. And I think really the Universe trying to remind us today that, especially if you're listening to my broadcast, if you're a loyal fan of the Conscious Consultant Hour, or you've you listen to our shows on talkradio.nyc, you know that not everybody got a bunch of love there. Not everybody really is into the sort of leading edge of transformational thought, of consciousness, of a more sustainable way of living and things like that. And it's really kind of cool because when you sort of dance in these worlds, you hear about things before anybody else. You see amazing things, amazing teachers who people don't know about at first, and then all of a sudden they explode on the scene and it seems like they're overnight sensations. But the truth is they've actually been around for years, and people like us have been listening to them. Wonderful teachers like Matt Kahn and Satyan Raja, Jennifer Huff, people who have just an amazing message. And we kind of find these people first. And it's fun, and it's exciting, and we get to dive into this beautiful stuff. And sometimes it can feel a little lonely because there are not that many people who are into the same thing at the same time as we are. I mean, I've been on a spiritual path most of my life, and I remember back in college, and I was pretty young then, and into all this strange stuff. And back then, I mean, if you talked about meditation or channeling or any of this stuff, people would look at you cross-eyed and think you're crazy. I mean, hands down, there were very, very few people who were I would say, into the quote-unquote consciousness movement. And it's just so interesting over the years, especially over the last 10 years, to see how it's become more and more in the mainstream. And there are a number of reasons why. I mean, when Rhonda Byrne came out with her movie The Secret, that totally popularized the law of attraction. That was a huge, huge leap forward. Again, I like The Secret. I believe it's a very sort of first grade primer on the topic of the law of attraction, but it's beautiful because it's such an entry point for people who would not normally start to listen to and be into these kinds of topics. So, you know, with that and Oprah and just all these things that have developed over the last 10 years, it's really amazing to see how much of this has gone mainstream. So, yes, it is exciting. And it can also sometimes be a little bit lonely. But, you know, as we build our tribe, as we continue to find more like-minded people, and there are more and more of us every day, we feel better. Like my loyal fans, I see Charlene. Oh, welcome to the Facebook Live, Charlene. Zena, oh, I haven't seen you in ages, Zena. Great to catch up. Patty, loyal listener, thank you so much, Patty. I'm so glad you're listening today, and I'm really glad I see you say you're learning lots from my show. I appreciate that, and I'm really glad to see people like you sort of joining the fray. Okay, that's the universe. Let's see what Abraham has in store for us today. The discipline that we would like you to exercise is to make a decision that nothing is more important than that you feel good, and that you are going to find thoughts that feel better. Your cork floating is the only thing that is worthy of discipline. Abraham. Okay, so the cork. Ooh, Marianne joined us. Thank you, Marianne. When Abraham talks about the cork, let me just real quickly for the listeners who are not familiar with this analogy, what Abraham says is that our natural feeling state is feeling good. And that it's only really through an act of resistance or focusing on things that don't make us feel good that we don't feel good. And Abraham uses, and I love this analogy, it's like you're a piece of cork, right? And if in order for the cork not to float in water, you would actually have to hold it down underwater. But if you're holding a piece of cork underwater and you just let go of it, it's naturally going to rise up to the top and float on top of the water. And so when Abraham talks about your cork floating is the only thing worthy of discipline, it means that allowing yourself to feel good by focusing on the things that are in alignment, that bring you up, that are energetically in alignment with what you want to manifest and what you want to bring into life, like that's the most important thing. And what Abraham is saying here in the quote is that, you know, when it comes to discipline, you know, discipline can be good for a lot of things, but the most important thing is discipline in our focus, discipline in our energy, discipline in what we are giving our presence to. And that, you know, if in your life there is something that is really annoying, painful, that really kind of brings you down, I'm not saying that you should necessarily ignore it, but as you can find things around it that you feel good about, the more you focus on those things, as the expression goes, where your attention goes, energy flows, and what we give our energy to expands in our life. So the more we give our energy to the things that lift us up, the better we feel, the more we feel lifted up. It's kind of like let's say, you know, you work for a company, and there are things about your job that you don't like, but there are some things about your job you do like. Like maybe you have a really annoying coworker who's in the cubicle right next door to you, but you love the work that you're working on. You love a particular project that you're focusing on. So instead of putting all your focus on that coworker who just drives you nuts, focus on your work. Focus on that project that you really love. And just to weave a story around it, if we put our focus on this project that we really love and we really put our energy into it and our heart into it, and we really give it our all, that project will be much more successful than if we come to it like, oh, I can't stand this guy next to me, and allow that to pull us out of feeling good. Our energy and our presence goes into this project. We do really well at it, and maybe next, you know, review, we get a promotion, and suddenly we get to move our cubicle, and then that annoying coworker is no longer in our space. So, I mean, it's a silly kind of analogy, but I think you get the idea. It's by focusing on those things that lift us up and make us feel good that we can really shine, and then that shining can sort of over compensate for those things that bring us down, make us feel not that good. Now, look, I'm not saying if you don't feel good in your body that you shouldn't go see a doctor. Of course you should. But give appreciation to your body for the things that are working, not for the things that aren't. And so that when you come to your healing, if there is a problem with your body, you have that much more energy, that much more positivity towards your body. They've done it. I think the HeartMath Institute study, like the various emotions, and they read sort of what frequencies different emotions give off. And the one emotion they say is the highest frequency is gratitude. The more gratitude we can find for something in our life, it's a higher vibration, a higher frequency, and it creates a better energetic environment for the cells of our body and for everyone around us. So again, it's, I don't want people to be unrealistic about stuff or ungrounded, but we can be grounded and we can be optimistic. We can be grounded and we can be grateful. We can be grounded and we can be joyful about the things in our lives that we are joyful for. Two great, wonderful quotes from Abraham and the universe. I hope you enjoyed them. I see we're getting some love on the Facebook Live. Thank you all for sharing this and bringing your presence on and enjoying the show. So, all right, let's get going because I'm excited about my guest today. And it is my pleasure to welcome Dr. Tracy Weiland, who is a researcher, a speaker on the impact of technology on society, work, and careers. A former visiting scholar at Stanford University, she has held leadership positions at Apple, HP, Cisco Systems. She was an adjunct professor for Bay Area colleges, teaching classes in business, technology, and women's workforce topics. Dr. Weiland was named San Francisco Woman of the Year and honored by the San Francisco Business Times as the most influential woman in the Bay Area business. She's a finalist for the 2018 Women Advocate of the Year for Women in Technology. Dr. Weiland has authored 13 books, and her newest book is Career Confusion, 21st Century Career Management in a Disrupted World, and it was named Bloomberg's Top Business Book for 2018, and it is a companion book to Digital Disruption, the Future of Work, Skills, Leadership, Education, and Careers in a Digital World. And it is my pleasure to welcome Dr. Tracy Weiland to the show. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Ah, my pleasure. My pleasure. You know, I've had a couple of guests on in the past talking about the future of work, but it's been a little while. And when I came across your stuff, I thought, you know, it would be good to revisit this topic because things are changing so fast, aren't they?
Yes, they really are. And the World Economic Forum has been talking about this fourth industrial revolution that globally that we're in now, where we have more and more technologies accelerating. And a lot of these technologies we just can't really touch and feel, you know, like what is artificial intelligence and what is big data?
Right.
So it creates a lot of confusion.
Right. And we're so interconnected, and the effect that the smartphones have had, I don't think anybody could have predicted them before the first iPhone came out. Do you?
No, and you know, here's what's interesting is technology becomes easier to use and more pervasive.
Yeah.
Society really embraces it, and I think the iPhone is an excellent example. I mean, I think there's more smart devices in the world now than people in toothbrushes. and so we've almost, you know, while it's disrupting, I think, you know, society is saying, hey, this is simplifying my life, and I can't even envision myself without the smartphone or ride sharing or Amazon Prime, for example. You know, so I think a lot of it we like at the same time.
Right, right. Exactly. Okay, Tracy, I apologize, but we do have to take our first break. And when we come back, I just want to talk a little bit more about your background, and then we're going to get into your new book, Career Confusion, and sort of what people should be more aware of today, given all these crazy things going on. Okay.
Okay.
All right, wonderful. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we will be right back after these messages.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your Conscious Consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday, 12 noon Eastern to 1 p.m. right here on talkradio.nyc and on Facebook Live. So, Tracy, I'm just curious, you know, to focus on the idea of sort of the future of work, workplace issues, it's not that common a focus, at least in the past. Was there something specific, an incident, or was this sort of an interest that sort of grew naturally out of your experiences in technology companies?
Well, a lot of it has to do with employment, and people are looking for jobs, and there's the level of frustration that people may not have the right skills for the jobs available today.
Yeah.
And on the flip side, employers are saying, I have a lot of jobs open and I can't find people to fill them. And it's because there's a gap. And so, and I felt that gap personally myself when I had moved actually from New York out to Silicon Valley and found myself highly unemployable, which was a big shock for me.
Right. Ah, so you're a fellow New Yorker, eh?
Yes. So I grew up in Queens and spent my school, you know, there. And I actually worked in Manhattan. And I worked for Vogue magazine. And, you know, my grandmother got Alzheimer's at a very young age. And the whole family moved out west to get her medical care. And thought it would be easy for me to get a job because I was in sales. But you have to be technical. And that's when I really opened my eyes to where the future of work was going And clearly Silicon Valley was spearheading technology.
Right. I'm just curious about your experiences as a woman in technology, because I've had guests come on in the past talk about sort of the challenges and the difficulty of being a woman in technological companies, because there is, let's face it, there is a very strong bias towards men in technological careers, isn't there?
Yeah, so, you know, my suggestion is you know, what skills are valued? And in Silicon Valley, engineering skills are highly valued. And at the time I entered, there weren't a lot of women in those positions. I mean, a lot of CEOs are engineers.
Right.
I actually ended up in manufacturing, which has a lot of hard skills, math and science.
Okay.
And so I didn't, you know, I wasn't in an administrative role. And I think there's always a concern if women are flocking to administrative roles, because they're never going to achieve on certain levels the power in some of the Silicon Valley companies if you are an outstanding engineer, right?
Right.
You know, you can move into product marketing management because you're handling products.
Right.
So, you know, to me, it's more important today that you manage your own career. So I have shifted and made decisions to leave firms that were not helping me achieve my personal goals to get ahead.
Right.
Instead of absorbing the negative vibes, as someone might say,
right,
whether because I was a female or maybe not an engineer, because, you know, you have to create your own goals and your own end game.
Right.
And I think anyone can say, you know, well, I have, you know, I might be discriminated in some sense. And my sense is, keep your eye on the ball, decide what's important to you,
right,
and create your own path to get there.
Right. Absolutely. And I just remember the blog post from Seth Godin, whenever we talk about work, about how, like, in our parents' day, they worked for like one or two or at most three companies in their lifetime and then retired. In our generation, you know, we've probably worked at seven different companies, possibly, you know, three or four different careers, and that people today in their 20s and 30s, they're going to have seven different careers simultaneously. And I heard, and, you know, now with the quote unquote gig economy, that there are a lot of people who, in addition to working whatever full-time job they're working, they have always some side project going on that's an idea for an app or a website or something that they're doing in addition to whatever they're doing to pay the bills. Do you find that's becoming more and more pervasive?
Yes, and, you know, a lot of it is because technology creates this opportunity for us to do things that we couldn't normally have done in our parents' generation.
Right.
I mean, so you can go on and you can create apps and you can do a lot more things and have a gig on the side or do other things, where in the past it was you went to the office from 9 to 5, technology wasn't really accessible outside of the office.
Right.
And so you couldn't be more creative on your own career paths. So, you know, some people might have tried entrepreneurial activities on weekends or at night, but today you can do a lot more.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I remember way back, I'm going to date myself now, when I read Alvin Toffler's book, The Third Wave, back in the, was it late 70s, early 80s? And he talked about sort of this new wave, as you mentioned before, this sort of this new sort of industrial wave of the, and at the time, that, you know, you didn't even have a name for it. You know, I've heard everything from the information economy to the connection economy, and that there'd be sort of this huge disruption in that, you know, jobs that people had been trained for and worked in for many, many years would overnight sort of disappear. But there would be different jobs, and this, you know, you kind of alluded to before, there'd be different sort of jobs, but people, you know, aren't really prepared for it. What kinds of shift, like what kinds of jobs are you seeing disappear on a wholesale basis? And then what kinds of jobs are coming up on a wholesale basis, like you're saying, the employers can't find people for?
Right. So, you know, every job has the ability to be eliminated if there is a rote and routine aspect to it.
Right.
So, you know, if a robot or artificial intelligence coding can replace a piece of your job because it's so repetitive, you really shouldn't be doing it anyway, because you are a creative human being. You have the ability to do more. You know, I tell a story because, you know, you're from New York. Is I remember in the New York Post, the Yotel. Yotel opened up on the West Side. It was a hotel that had a robotic bellboy. And it was a big headline because everyone said the bellboy is going to replace the robotic bellboy, is putting bellboys out of business. And the general manager was quoted in there saying, you know, here's the story of what happened. One bellboy said, this is all I can do. I can only be a bellboy, so I'm going to have to go find another hotel to work at. And the second one said, you know what, I realize the technology is part of the future. I can't really embrace it, but could you help me move to other positions in the hotel so I can build up my skills and be more employable? And they did that. He said the third one was very clever. The third one went out to the manufacturer of the bellboy robotic company and said, I'm a subject matter expert in bellboy, but I also embrace the technology so I could be your director of sales. So he said, out of the three, you know, they're all employed. One had to leave, probably at minimum wage. Right. The second one is skill building, and the third one is probably making a lot of money because they embrace the technology.
That's great. That's great. Even though AI and robotic technology has been improving dramatically in the last 5 years, it still has a little bit of a way to go, though, doesn't it?
Well, it will constantly evolve, and that's part of the unknowns is, you know, these technologies will blend, they'll merge, they'll continue to evolve. I like to always call out the auto industry. When you think about it, when I grew up, cars just had four wheels and took gas and you changed your own oil. But they're constantly evolving right now to become intelligent mobile devices, computers on wheels, and now actually software and sensors. So they will continue to evolve and create different kinds of jobs and opportunities.
Right, right. And now with the big, there's a lot of research being done into self-driving vehicles, which could eventually put a whole bunch of drivers out of a job, right?
Or, if you look at the flip side, now we need people to design these cars. We need people to repair these cars. We need people to ensure, right, look at the policies, to look at the parking. Will parking need to exist? Do we need traffic lights anymore? What are the legalities around it? So to me, there's going to be a lot more jobs created by this whole new platform, driverless cars, than displacing a driver who might actually, you know, find a better job of managing a fleet of autonomous cars. So I think you have to look at it holistically and say, wow, there could be a whole landscape of cars ahead of us. And when you think about it, they're going to be information and entertainment mobiles because you don't have to drive them. So you need people to design the interior entertainment. So there's a lot more things that can open up.
So what should somebody do? I mean, let's say you are a car driver, or you are somebody that's, you know, we would consider today normally to be a relatively low skill level kind of job that would be ripe for basically being eliminated in the future through technology. What can that person do to prepare themselves for an opportunity that doesn't even exist yet today?
Right. So, you know, a lot of actually these jobs are embracing, you know, people are embracing the technology. I just had, you know, plumbers tell me that, you know, you can't have a plumbing business anymore without using a camera. And the people who understand how to use the cameras actually can charge a higher amount than those who don't. So I think every industry, you have to think about maybe two technologies that are impacting your world and how can you capitalize on that. How can I use that to expand my skill sets or my business? More than saying, oh, my God, that's going to take my job away. And I don't think these things happen overnight. You know, ticket kiosks for airlines, right, didn't happen overnight.
Right.
There was an evolution, and then the ticket agent evolved into customer service agents, right, in different kinds of roles. So I think you have to keep your eye on where is the technology happening in my industry, what are some things that I can learn, and then how can I reposition myself for growth? And a lot of that means taking ownership of your own job and, you know, your own career.
Right, right. Yeah, and it's sometimes it's about just showing up in your position, as I kind of talked about earlier today in the quotes, and really giving your all to helping people, like you know, if you're, let's say, a gate agent in an airport, that if somebody, you know, is rushing, or maybe they're at the wrong gate and you go out of your way to help them to make sure they get on the right flight. And it's not that it's necessarily your job to walk them across the jetway, but you do it anyway because it's just the right thing to do. That earns you sort of praise. People get to know you, and now you've kind of developed your customer service skills. So when a more rote sort of job disappears, you're now have sort of groomed yourself to be more of that human-to-human service agent and support person.
You know, whenever I had a new employee come in to work for me, I would sit them down and say, you know, this job that you have today isn't going to look like this job a year from now.
Yeah.
And the reason is because of you. You're going to become the CEO of your job. And you're going to look ahead, right, look at some of these customer service aspects that you mentioned. You're going to grow this job to be very different so that a year from now you really understand the direction and help us grow. If you don't, then that means it becomes very robotic. And
right.
Why don't I just hire a robot to really replace you?
Right.
So it really is this embracing your job as a CEO and saying, where is it going to be? How am I going to grow it? And then I'll pull, you know, the company will grow with you. And we need more people thinking much more entrepreneurial about their jobs rather than very rote and robotically about their jobs.
Right, right. Absolutely. Okay, great. Let's take another quick break. And when we come back, let's talk about your books, Career Confusion and Digital Disruption. I like those alliterations. And talk about sort of what people you know, should be looking for in terms of other skills and other strategies for keeping themselves relevant. Okay. And we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. Our guest this hour is Dr. Tracy Weiland, author of the books Career Confusion and Digital Disruption. We do this every Thursday, 12 noon Eastern to 1 p.m. right here on talkradio.nyc. So, Dr. Tracy, you've authored 13 books. Wow, that's a lot of books. So Digital Disruption, the Future of Work, Skills, Leadership, Education, and Careers in a Digital World. What did you learn in writing that book that maybe at the time, you know, surprised you a little bit or educated yourself a little bit in the process?
Well, you know, Digital Disruption I wrote because, you know, the World Economic Forum came out and said, you know, this is fourth industrial revolution. The world is going to be disrupted like nothing in the past. And I started to look at the past and say, we've gone through so many revolutions, you know, agriculture, transportation, you know, devices, and somehow or another society has survived. And so what I looked at was, you know, okay, what's going to change about work? Are there some new skills we need to think about? What do we have to think about differently in education? And then finally our careers. And so I think for me it was just more of absorbing and immersing myself in what are these technologies, what's happening out there. And so and to help people understand it in a simplified way, because people were overcomplicating it and scaring people, quite frankly. The career confusion, you know, I got an immediate response from industry and education and individuals saying, okay, thank you for simplifying the technology. What does this mean for me? Yeah. What does this mean for my students? Can you demystify the career part? And so it was sort of that chapter that I started to look at and say, yeah, what does it mean for each of us in employability? Or, you know, as teachers, you know, how do I prepare students for careers that we don't even understand or know about? So that's why the two books actually came out pretty quickly back to back, because of the demand for more and more simplification of these, you know, difficult concepts.
Right, right. Absolutely, absolutely. And for students in particular, it must be pretty confusing, because they're sort of learning things that by the time they graduate may be irrelevant. So it's, how do you prepare yourself for a workforce that the skills you're learning may be disappearing by the time you graduate?
So, you know, I just came back from a very large education conference in Boston, and, you know, I was talking to teachers and I was talking to students. Students are very resilient. Students will learn. They're thinking, you know, they're loving the technology. They were showing me all of these projects that they were doing. So I don't worry so much about the students, other than they're almost like boats without rudders, right? You know, because I said to a student, you love gaming. You love this. So are you thinking about this for the future for a job? And, you know, I got a blank stare. No, I, you know, he just really liked playing with the games.
Right,
and clearly
right.
was very advanced with math and science. The teachers were the ones I was more concerned about, because the teachers were still teaching for the past.
Yes.
Because they didn't understand the future. And so, you know, their role is really becoming from the sage on the stage to really the facilitator of knowledge and making connections. And how can I create that learning environment so that that student can continue learning, meeting people, and understanding how to take their great knowledge and skills and position it forward. So I really found that I don't want to say resistance by faculty at all or teachers at all. It was more of, how do I do this?
Right.
You know, because I just clearly am not in this industry.
Right, right. And indeed, you know, one of the big criticisms I have and I've heard about sort of the education industry as an industry overall is it's something that was developed back in the early days of the Industrial Revolution, when they were trying to take farmers who would kind of do things a million different ways and turn them into factory workers. So a lot of it was rote about submitting to authority and about sort of almost beating the creativity out of them, which to make assembly line workers maybe was apropos for the time. But today we need the exact opposite, don't we? But we're still dealing with an education system that grew out of that.
Well, it varies, you know, so that's the one thing is it does vary depending on, you know, where you live and what kind of school systems. But I think there is a recognition that we need to broaden the scope for our students and give them many more opportunities to advance their skills. Much more experiential learning, that was a big theme coming up.
Yes.
How do I
yes.
connect our students to industry?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and others is just, you know, even they're using their social media to introduce them to other students or graduates who are doing things that they may be interested in. So it's really this shift of, instead of instruction, which is important, there's also the connection to the industry.
Yes, yes.
But with that said, I know teaching to the tests and, you know, college-bound stuff is all big hurdles that educators have to deal with as well.
Right. Okay. So now if we take our shift our focus a little bit from the students to maybe older people, people in their late 40s, 50s, maybe even early 60s. People are living longer, more vibrantly than they ever have before. I mean, my mom just passed away. She was 99 and a half, and she was pretty with it up until the very, very end. So, you know, people are older, and I know they can contribute, but for them, it's a little bit different when it comes to having to change their skill sets than if you're 21 and just out of college or 22.
Yeah, and you're bringing up an excellent point, is that we are living longer, and that means we're going to be working longer for a lot of us because we want to retire with some fun. So,
right.
You know, the reality is we could be working into our 70s, 80s, depending
right.
on, you know, where we are. If you're working now, I always encourage people, take as much classes and skill training that
yeah.
you can in the company that you're working for.
Yes.
Just if it's free to you and it's offered to you, take the time to do it. If you have tuition reimbursement, take certifications, go back to school.
Yeah.
I did all that through my career in the high-tech firms. They always offer tuition reimbursement.
Wonderful.
So that you're constantly preparing yourself. But there's a planning aspect, is you have to say, okay, so what am I doing in my 30s that impacts what I'm doing in my 40s? Where would I like to be in my 60s
right.
or 70s if I am still employed? And what kind of timeline and goals can I set for myself to get there?
Right.
But with that said, is a lot of colleagues of mine who are working in their 70s
mm-hmm.
and 80s have said to me, you have to start thinking about age-appropriate organizations or age-appropriate fields that match your skill sets. So, for
okay.
example, a colleague of mine is now a fractional executive. He was a controller for a large firm,
mm-hmm.
and then in his 50s realized that he was going to be somewhat phased out,
right.
And so he prepared himself to really have his own business in his 50s as a fractional executive, which is saying, I can be a part-time controller for many firms.
Right.
The second term is called portfolio career. How can I set up myself to have a portfolio career?
Right.
But other individuals have said, you know, I phased out of corporate consulting and I've moved into healthcare or nonprofit or the education world, where you see other people in your same age range working are good examples of where you can start to target to say, okay, it's age-friendly for me to move into some of these other areas and bring my skills with me.
Right, right. And it's interesting sort of what you said about sort of that transition from being a full-time employee to actually working for yourself, being an entrepreneur in a way, and sort of taking those same skill sets but applying them in different ways as you kind of move up in years. It does seem like there are, while there's still plenty of jobs at large organizations, but it does seem like entrepreneurship is much more on the rise in all age groups, isn't it?
Well, I have to say that, you know, Shark Tank is a phenomenal show. It really inspired, you know, so many young people and adults to really start to rethink through, yes, I can, you know, have my own business. And this is where technology comes in, because you can open up a storefront in less than 5 minutes, whether it's an eBay storefront or an Etsy storefront. So we didn't have that in the past.
Right.
But the second point is also recasting the skills. I think it's important. I just met a personal trainer, and he said to me, I recasted my skills to be a personal trainer for 50-plus, because I realized that there is a very large population of 50-plus who are very focused on health and training.
Yes.
They have different needs than the younger generation, and I'm the perfect person who can recast my skills to help them. And he's really rebuilding his practice around that.
Right.
And I think, you know, it's really watching the trends, looking at your skills and saying, how can I facilitate this?
Absolutely. And it's also a way of thinking about it a little differently, because in the past, you know, who are the people you'd see in the gym all the time? They're relatively young people who just wanted to get in really good shape. But nowadays, I mean, I just know I'm fortunate enough to have a gym in the basement of my building. I go down there, I would say 60% of the people I see in the gym are at least 55 plus. These trends are shifting on both sort of a large scale in like the technological sense, but also in terms of just personal interest and sort of on a personal level, they're shifting as well.
Yes, you know, and it's funny that you talked about meditation because I moved out to California, the Bay Area, but I recently just re-moved now down to Southern California into Santa Monica area, and there are franchises everywhere for meditation. You know, it's sort of like you go in and you can take meditation classes of every scope and type, every journey that you want. And so it's sort of like the trend, you know, where is it going? People are looking for spiritual guidance or ways to really integrate meditation into their daily lives. And it's prevalent here and maybe not so much in other parts of the country. So you can certainly see the evolution.
Yeah, I mean, and what I heard in talking to people who've been to like different tech conferences and stuff is that sometimes like even the president, the CEO, the vice president of the company may meditate, but they don't advertise it. They don't tell a lot of people. They kind of keep it quiet. But I think out in California, it's so prevalent and it's so ubiquitous in the environment. It's like everybody's doing it. So it's not a big deal. Here in New York City, people are doing it. They may not talk about it quite as much.
Yes, I just actually I look at companies when I'm visiting with them, and they show me their meditation rooms, and it's they say it helps calm down some of the employees. They tell them to take five, you know.
Yeah, great.
But it's fascinating. It's really fascinating.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, believe it or not, Tracy, it's time for us to take our last break of the show. When we come back, let's just talk a little bit about like where we are today in the middle of 2019 and maybe some things people should be looking at for now. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Wonderful. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at talkingalternative.com.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We've been speaking this hour with Dr. Tracy Weiland, author of the book Career Confusion, 21st Century Career Management in a Disrupted World. So, Dr. Tracy, for people who are literally looking for a job right now in the middle of 2019, what advice would you have for them?
Well, I think it's really important that you figure out, you know, on a personal level, think about things that you like to do that you do well enough to get paid or promoted for it. And so that's really taking a hard look at your own sellable skills.
Right.
You know, what are the scarce things that will set you apart that are employable? Is it project management? Is it a writing skill? Is it coding? Is it a speaking skill? You know, what is that? And then go match that to the available jobs in the market.
Right.
I think a second thing that people need to do is it creates a lot of anxiety. So I say eliminate the noise, right?
Yeah.
So if you don't know what you want to do, let's make a list of what you don't want to do. You know, so you want to be in the healthcare industry,
right,
but you're squeamish around blood. So that can,
right,
eliminate a number of jobs in the healthcare industry.
Right.
Or I want to be in the healthcare industry, and I do want to work with people, but not with technology, right? So then you can start to narrow in.
Right.
Or I want to go to an office, but I don't want to commute more than 2 subway stops or 10 miles, right? So then you can start to draw a circle and say, well, what companies are in that environment? So that sometimes can help people.
Cool.
So I think it's just really trying to figure out what, you know, everybody's Delta Deca car, you know, a hand is, you know, what are your aces?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what are your jokers, you know, and
right,
let's go play the high cards and figure out where we can do the best.
Right. Are there certain industries that you see are like so wide open and so in need of talent that you think are really worth people taking a look at that they might not normally think of?
Yeah. So, well, number one, technology is always going to have the demand. And
right,
people say, oh, I have to be a coder. Well, no, you don't. I mean, let's face it. I worked in the technology industry, and I wasn't an engineer. I was a project manager. I moved into manufacturing. I moved into a strategy group. So don't close your eyes to technology, because these firms are high growth and have a lot of opportunity. And they have HR departments, customer service departments.
Sure.
They have marketing,
sure,
departments, finance departments. The second one is healthcare. Healthcare is huge,
yeah,
in terms of employment. And to me, that's a building block career.
Mm-hmm.
You can enter basically with maybe 1 year of college or 2 years, like a certificate,
mm-hmm,
and then you can continue to grow yourself. And I've met people who've started off as health aides and now are CEOs of hospital systems.
Wow.
Because they started to figure out what they like to do well, and either went back for certifications or classes or education and built out their skills. So I think healthcare is another one. Of course, government is a very large employer.
Yes.
And finance. Finance is a big one. And then there's also, you know, new trends. You know, the
right,
food trend is hitting a lot of areas of the country.
Yeah.
This, as we talked before, the autonomous transportation industry.
Right.
If you can get in at the ground level, you can grow with it. So
right,
there's a lot of areas that you can look at today that we couldn't in the past.
Right. Yeah, you know, healthcare, it's interesting you mentioned that, because I just happened to make this comment to my wife the other day. As you walk down the streets of Manhattan, and you notice that, like, more and more brick-and-mortar stores closing down, but what do you see popping up more and more? Urgent care and sort of these emergency room like offset clinics for people to go to so that they don't go to the hospital and fill up the emergency rooms. And so you see those popping up everywhere.
Yes, and services, consumer services. That's why, you know, like food is filling a lot of these empty spaces or pop-up restaurants. Gyms. I'm seeing a lot of gyms now moving into malls. So,
okay,
again, that health and fitness.
Right.
You know, so there's, you have to keep your eyes open to what's happening, but then also
right,
realistically where you live and
right,
what's going on
right,
where you live.
Right, right. Okay. Let's take out our crystal ball a little bit. And I'm just wondering, Tracy, if you could look into the future a little bit and just give us some predictions for the future of work in general, and maybe some specific industries. What do you think is going to happen in the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, number one, I think security is a big deal.
Yeah.
On a government level, on an industry level, on an organization level, school level, and personally. So if I had a young person today who had the skills and wherewithal, I would encourage them to look at security, whether it's cybersecurity or physical. Security is just a really big deal.
Yeah.
And so that's a wide open gap, a lot of money and opportunity there.
Yeah.
I see a lot of movement towards artificial intelligence, so data scientists. You know, if you can make sense of the enormous amount of data that a store is collecting, that a hospital is collecting. You know, people want to really figure out the trends of what's happening to someone. in the future. So that's a big area as well. And then it's, yes, machine learning and robotics, yes, but look at it as technology is our new teammate. Mm. So, in manufacturing, I embraced 3D printing and robotic manufacturing arms and, because I saw that they're going to help me elevate my own position so that something I can offload some of the things I really hate to do. Right. So I think, keeping our eye on some of those, as well as, remember sales is always big, and if you make your number, it's an ageless career.
Right.
Finance is another ageless career. I know accountants and lawyers who are working well into their 80s and 90s because it's just such a valuable skill.
Yeah.
So start to think about some of those. And then in the future, well, we're going to need people to train the robots. Space tourism, of course, is in the news.
Yes.
We're going to be flying to different places and having, needing people to do that. Memory surgeon across my radar.
Huh.
People can actually eliminate bad memory experiences, maybe for PTSD or different areas.
Huh.
So there's, or digital, a nostalgist. Someone, you're probably going to different kinds of memorials now or birthdays now where people are actually not showing photographs only, but also creating beautiful video concepts.
Yes, yes.
So, really tracking history using some of the multimedia.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different areas that I see just emerging.
Yeah. I remember my degree and my background actually is in IT and technology. And I remember when I was in college, one of my professors, I thought, said something that was so, so smart. He said, don't just study computer programming. He said, study something else that you really like that you can apply computer programming to. So it's like studying technology is great and there's lots of opportunity, but if you're really interested in the environment or you're really interested in animals or people or whatever it is, study that also and then learn how to apply technology to that particular industry in maybe a new and different way. And I thought that was a really great piece of advice that I've kept with me and I often give to many of my coaching clients.
Oh, I think that is an excellent advice because it's all about how do we use technology to solve problems in a different area. And if you can find, as you said, the area that you really are interested in, the two together is quite powerful.
Yeah, yeah. And I just, one thought I had was that there's a huge, huge, huge opportunity right now for people to go into sort of how to apply technology to the ecological crises that we're facing, like the 14-year-old kid who came up with a way of cleaning up plastic out of the oceans. Something like that, I think, is so important. Or like what kinds of technologies can we invent or apply to help with climate change, with extreme weather, with sort of these challenges that we're facing, pollution, that are actually going to affect our fundamental life.
Yes, and these are new categories that really didn't exist before. They existed, but we just didn't focus on them as actually employability. And so, yes, I think it's like really looking for where can I make a contribution that I could do well enough to get paid or promoted for it.
Right, exactly. Well, Tracy, unfortunately, we've come to the end of the show. I really want to thank you for taking the time to be on the Conscious Consultant Hour. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
And so Career Confusion and Digital Disruption, where can people find the books?
Oh, thank you. So the books are, of course, available on Amazon.com. My website and the publisher is Peter Lang.
Uh-huh.
And they're pretty accessible.
Right. And if people just want to learn more about you, do you have a personal website?
I do. It's TracyWeilen.com, which is TracyWeilen.com. I'm on Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn and a lot of venues, social media venues, so I'm pretty easy to find.
Wonderful, wonderful. And I'm sure you've already written 13 books. I'm sure there are more in the works, so you'll let me know when you come out with your next book and we'll have you back on.
I will. Thank you very much.
You're quite welcome. You're quite welcome. And thank you, my loyal listeners, for tuning in today. Ooh, I missed some people on the Facebook Live. Serve, Brigitte, Lisa, Paula Caracappa, creator of the Awaken Fair. Wonderful. Thank you, Paula, for joining us on the Facebook Live. Thank you, as always, for tuning in, and we will talk to you next week.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
I'm the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%, fundraising, board relations, social media. My guests and I cover everything that small and mid-sized shops struggle with. If you have big dreams and a small budget, you have a home at Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern at talkingalternative.com.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Do you love or are you intrigued about New York City and its neighborhoods? I'm Jeff Goodman, host of Rediscovering New York, a weekly show that showcases New York's history and its extraordinary neighborhoods. Every Tuesday live at 7 p.m., we focus on a particular neighborhood and explore its history, its vibe, its feel, and its energy. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.